you should have received the printout for the catechism, continuing catechism on the lay apostolate, and the last question, question 89, is the last of the catechism on the lay apostolate. In other words, the manuscript you have received is the completion of the catechism on the lay apostolate, based, as you know, on the Vatican document on the lay apostolate. There will be some proofreading, some possible alterations, but basically it will be published then as a catechism on the lay apostolate. I might also add that the lay apostolate is part. Now, I see for the first time in Catholic history, this is the Catechism on Consecrated Life, which I wrote, in Denver 2 weeks ago. This too will soon be published. It is directed primarily to those who live a consecrated life under vows, as we call them, religious, but not only. On March the 25th, as I may have mentioned in our last class, the Holy Father issued a document called Vita Consecrata, the consecrated life. And for the first time in the Church's history has the Pope identified consecrated life as referring both to those who are under vows as religious and lay people who may or may not be under vows but who consecrate themselves to serving Christ. A subject all by itself, the beginning, as I will say, of a new era in Catholic, not just practice, but doctrine. The need for consecrated people among the laity, as the Holy Father points out, is greater than ever before in human history. I might also, before we begin our class, say that we are well underway in organizing what I've mentioned several times, the Association of Catechists, International Association of Catechists, to provide the millions in countries like ours, not just the very young, with some still sound Catholic understanding of the true faith. We had our annual convention of the Institute on Consecrated Life in Chicago, Easter Friday, Saturday, and the Sunday after Easter. Bishop Buskovitz spoke and gave a very fine, very wise, but very, shall I say, hard-hitting lecture. The bishop and I met for about 3 hours, and the question to be had was where would be the national offices for this international association of lay catechists trained to teach the faith. We discussed Washington, New York, Detroit, and Chicago. Bishop Buskevitz told me, Father, you must have 100% support from the bishop of the diocese. I can assure the association of 100% support. I recommend it be the national office in Lincoln, Nebraska. I so wrote to Rome. I'm waiting for word from the Holy See. I am confident they will approve. In other words, this is not the last we've heard of Bishop Buskevitz. Now the questions. V73 was where we were to start. I would very much welcome, as I've mentioned each time, questions from you people. And please write out your questions during our classes. And if I may ask you to write, first of all, print. If you have a darker pencil, use a dark pencil. And so print, dark, and large letters. It was recommended that we spend in this class more time on the questions than we have so far, up to an hour if needed. I'm very happy to do it. We finish these classes, you know, by 4:30, and we have Mass in the chapel at 4:30. It would be well then if you wrote out your questions during our classes, and please turn them in. Question 73. When should training for the lay apostolate begin? It should begin from the very start of a child's education. More particularly, adolescents and youth should be initiated in or to apostolic work. Let's be clear. The Second Vatican Council mandated the lay apostolate, hear it, for every Catholic lay person in the church. I don't hesitate saying, for a Catholic, I'm speaking now of the laity, not to be actively engaged in the lay apostolate, and I mean what I'm saying, is a sin. A sin against charity. What we human beings most need, that's all charity is, meeting people's needs. What the modern world most needs is to know the truth. And we have the truth. I repeat, we were obliged, and I'll repeat, under penalty of sin, to share the truth that we undeservedly possess. Over the years, as I'm sure I've mentioned more than once, the standard definition of peace of mind, the standard theological definition of peace of mind is the experience of knowing the truth. human mind can be only as peaceful as it possesses the truth. I've checked the figures. The official figures for the United States are over 70 million Americans taking medically prescribed tranquilizers to obtain some degree of peace of mind. I repeat, there is no peace of mind without possessing the truth. And there'll be only as much peace of mind as a person possesses. And then the experience of that possession, I repeat, is a theological definition of peace of mind. In other words, train your children from infancy with stress on adolescence and the youth. Question 74. What is the responsibility of parents to any of their children? Now get it. It is not training the people or children in knowing the faith. They're assuming that. It is training the children for sharing the faith. Over the years, understandably, our concentration had been on knowing the faith and living the faith. We must continue doing that. But because the powers of untruth, led by the father of lies, using our modern media, have so deeply penetrated millions of human minds with the untruth, someone must, and the verb is must, out of sheer charity, I don't hesitate saying, our salvation depends on our sharing the truth of our faith with others, as never before needed in human history. Answer. Parents should teach their children from their earliest years that they are to share the treasures of their faith with others. Children with other children. Adolescents with other adolescents. Youth with other youth. That was the principal theme of our Holy Father's pilgrimage to Denver, Colorado, where I spent a week. Well, just a week ago, and met with the Archbishop of Denver, and he signed up to join in our International Association for training lay catechists to share the faith. This sharing, we continue, is not only among members of the family, but others too, with whoever enters the children's lives. Hear it. Statisticians who analyze American culture tell us the two most important influences in this sequence on children and the youth. The first, they say, is peer pressure. The second is the media. Now you won't call it peer pressure. Call it peer influence. Are we clear? The strongest influence on children is other children. The strongest influence on adolescents is other adolescents. The strongest influence on the youth is other youth. Given that fact, sheer logic tells us those who have the true faith are to, I won't say exert the peer pressure, but exert, well, the peer influence on even the youngest children of their own age. As we look back our own young lives, how deeply we were influenced by our young friends. But we better be convinced that we have a duty. We have a duty to exert the corresponding influence on others, and not just on those who casually enter our lives, but hear it, also on those whom children will consciously enter other children's lives. A whole panorama of the apostolate lies open. Believe you me, those who don't have our faith, they know the influence of the young on other young people. Among the 12 associations, remember, that our friend Bishop Buskovitz, well, shall I say it, excommunicated, were the Rainbow Girls. Who are the Rainbow Girls? They are the young girls whose parents are Freemasons, trained from childhood to spread Freemasonry among their own playmates. Oh, how backward we Catholics can be when it comes to exercising influence over other people. Question 75. What is the responsibility of Catholic schools? Answer. They are to foster in their students not only a Catholic outlook, but a zeal of Catholic action. No words can describe how important this is. Catholics who stupidly blame the Second Vatican Council for the problems that the Church is now facing don't realize they themselves, and I think most Catholics, don't really know the Second Vatican Council. In other words, to teach children, train them to influence other children in what the Catholic children presumably already believe. Question 76. What should be the attitude toward children who are not in Catholic schools? This very fact should inspire parents, pastors, and others to not only teach the young their Catholic faith, but again, motivate them to communicate this faith to others. Homeschooling parents should not only teach their children what they are to believe and how they are to behave, they are to teach their children also that and how they are to share their Catholic faith with others. And as we all know, the lack of once flourishing Catholic schools in a country like ours, dare I say it, is enough to make the good angels weep. And it's just one of thousands of empty, once flourishing Catholic schools in America. See, I've told you, in Detroit alone, in 1 year, one community informed then Cardinal Dearden and closed as a list of the 31 parish schools out of which we are pulling out. And nobody could change those stubborn feminist nuns to go back in the classroom. As one who just got a doctorate from the Sisters of Nazareth in Kalamazoo, a long page, and appropriately, in the National Catholic Reporter, a whole page, "We nuns are sick and tired of being nursemaids to other people's children." And we are reaping the havoc in our nation as a consequence. That is why the Holy See wants Catholic laity to be trained, having periodic meetings. Our next meeting is May 13th. Of those who want to commit themselves to working with this association, where the Holy See wants to train lay catechists to teach the faith to others. And the training must first of all be spiritual, then doctrinal, and then trained, well, in pedagogy. And all the Jesuit casuistry of 450 years as needed nowadays, when so many highly educated Catholics do not know their Catholic faith. We have an annual Church Teachers Forum in Louisville, Kentucky, and Bishop Buskowitz will be speaking in Louisville on June the 15th. You are cordially welcome. I've been asked to also give a lecture and asked, what should I speak on? I said, I want to speak on this subject. Either understand your faith or lose it. How many graduate students with doctorate degrees, nominally Catholic, who just do not understand their Catholic faith? How will I know? 77. What is the role of Catholic societies and associations? There are hundreds of such in our country. This, I repeat, is a directive of the Second Vatican Council approved, of course, by the Vicar of Christ. They should consider training their members for the apostolate as a grave responsibility. Moreover, this training should be done with care and constancy in a way consistent with the nature and purpose of each organization. In other words, you name the association. What the church wants is every single lay Catholic association in the world to look to its becoming an agent for the apostolate. How broad should be the scope of this training? Training of whom? Training of the laity for apostolic work. I have only one fear. It's the fear that what I'm sharing with you, not my ideas, but that of the Catholic Church. My only fear is you will think of this as, well, yes, beautiful, but count me out. And my prayer is that God will move your wills to sacrifice whatever sacrifice you have to make. First, be trained. I repeat, spiritually, doctrinally, and pedagogically. And then begin to exercise your apostolic zeal. St. John Chrysostom, the greatest doctor of the universal church in the Eastern tradition, he wrote a shelf of volumes, mostly homilies. His name Chrysostom was given because it means golden mouthed, one of the greatest orators of all times. In his commentary on the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, remember, in the first part, Christ predicts the fall of Jerusalem. Then he foretells the last day. And he tells, this is Christ, how he will come the second time to judge the living and the dead. Those to be saved, invite them. Come, you blessed of my Father. Possess the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And always those first two conditions are crucial. I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. Then those on his left. Depart from me, you cursed, in everlasting fire. I was hungry and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty and you did not give me to drink. St. John Chrysostom says, and this is the teaching of the church, our salvation depends mainly on our feeding others with God's revealed truth. And providing drink for those who are dying of thirst for God's love. and God's love is founded on the truth. Christ could not be plainer. If you love me, keep my commandments. I could not be either bolder or more brazen. You and my salvation depends on our engaging in apostolic work. There's no period after that sentence. That's a triple exclamation mark. Question 78. How broad should be the scope of this training? It should be universal in its outreach, affecting every sector of life. It should include the professional and social sectors and not be confined within the precincts of any single association. It should literally involve every single lay person in the church. And the Latin verb behind that should is debet. Our English word debt, D-B-T, is derived from the Latin debitum. In other words, we have a debt. What's our debt? To share with others what God has given to us. Over the years, especially in teaching priests, I've never tired telling them, especially my own Jesuits, may have told you that he come to me. I was teaching their first year of theology, on the theology of faith. All had been in the order of at least 10 years. Average age was 30, 31. They were up at my door, coming angry. Look at me. 31 years old, sitting in class listening to you spout. I've got friends with a family of 3-4 children, sitting like a kid in the classroom. So I tell them, sit down. I'm quoting myself. Do you think I'm teaching you theology so you would have a big, fat head? Loaded with knowledge? I'm teaching you theology so you'll have something to share with others. And in today's world, America, the most academic trained country in human history. You better know your faith, understand it. So they, some would apologize, some would just leave the room without explaining. Thanks for being here. That's why I'm here, hoping and praying that you, all of you, in the measure that God provides in your lives, become, and I mean every letter, become zealous apostles sent by Christ to share your faith with others. Question 79. should adults be trained for the lay apostolate? Emphatically, yes. Many years of experience and growth in the faith make them particularly suitable for apostolic training. But watch it. Their natural maturity, elevated by grace, provides a strong foundation for the apostolate. I wouldn't talk this language to all Catholic audiences. I presume that you are here because you both have the Catholic faith and have a certain degree of maturity also in your grasp of the faith. Let me tell you, you've got to be trained and continue being trained to be a match for those who are hell-bent on not just teaching the untruth, but to destroy the Catholic faith of once believing Catholics. You better know how to cope with these enemies of the Catholic Church. And you don't have to leave, believe me, you don't have to leave the precincts of Detroit. You have plenty of work for all of you. Question 80. Before I go on, may I remind you, are you writing questions? Would there be some container that we could have to? Question 80. What are the three basic forms of apostolic training? They are training for the apostolate of evangelization and sanctification. Number one. Second, training for the Christian renewal of the temporal order. Thirdly, training for works of Christian charity and mercy. In other words, the apostolate covers all three levels. To evangelize and sanctify, the apostolate of teaching, the apostolate of sanctifying. How do you sanctify? Well, we sanctify ourselves in three basic ways. First, by receiving the sacraments. Basic form of sanctification. Secondly, we are sanctified, either we ourselves or sanctify others, by prayer. I cannot tell you how important it is to persuade people to pray. Over the years, I cannot count the number of people over the telephone. They need counsel. So I say, now let's pray. I lead them in prayer. Either I improvise over the telephone, or I get them to say a prayer which they're supposed to know by heart. If they don't know it, I say it for them. Have them repeat over the telephone. So, how is a person sanctified? First, by the sacraments. That means confession and communion. I did tell you, didn't I? The homily that I gave at McLean in Virginia, St. John's. Have I tell you about that? Are you sure? 10 o'clock Mass on a Sunday morning. Then I must have. Previous Saturday, hearing confessions all afternoon, evening, all along. 11 penitents came to confession. I must have told you this. Remember? Do you remember? Three and a half hours of confession. 11 people showed up. Next morning, at the 10 o'clock Mass, standing room only in the church. I prepared a homily. And then something struck me. I looked at this crowded audience. I thought to myself, oh, yes, Lord, should I do it? He said, do it. So I said, my dear friends, I never thought I would speak in the holiest parish in the United States. At communion time, just about all of you will come to communion. I heard confessions. The two priests took an afternoon off, an evening, when I hear confessions for them. 11 people showed up confessions in 3.5 hours. Nobody goes to communion unless they're in the state of grace. I cannot imagine you are all in the state of grace. And quite a few. I'm happy to report over 1/3 of the church did not go to communion. The next Saturday and afternoon evening, more confessions than in several years. Am I clear? Get people go to the sacraments. And of course this means helping priests to hear confessions. I think I've told you. I would go out of confession, told my sins, and I got a beautiful poetic homily. And he said, well, that's it. I didn't get absolution. I told the priest, I give you absolution, Father. Don't tell me what the formula of absolution is. You didn't give it to me. He didn't know it. Over the years, more than one priest I've had repeat after me the formula of absolution so he could absolve me. Promote confession and communion. Secondly, pray. Good idea, especially you ladies. What do you call that thing you have on your
purse?
What is that called?
Purse.
Purse. Pardon me, purse. carry in your purse some small prayer cards. And if you need money, I'll ask my Jesuit superiors and we'll buy some cards. And give them to your friends. It's out of curiosity. Read them. This is a prayer for a bishop. And I'm being videotaped. By the way, bishops would appreciate getting this. They need prayer. And thirdly, we're talking about, remember, three forms of apostolic training, and I'm explaining the sanctification part. You get sanctified, your brothers to get sanctified by the sacraments, by prayer, and by cooperating with grace. I'm not sure this will look so good, but having been on the stage, you can't imagine what I've performed on the stage over the years. But for some people, grace is something. What a beautiful sight. People have problems. Father, I've been praying. How many perpetual novenas I've said? I tell them, don't stop praying. You've got a warehouse full of grace. Start using some of that grace.